Welcome, everyone, to Locked on Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's episode is brought to you courtesy of our friends and partners over at SeatGeek. Download their SeatGeek mobile app and enter the promo code LONBA, and you can get a $20 rebate today off of your first SeatGeek purchase. So we chat on Thursday. We're not without news. Now, the Carmelo talks I'm going to lead with because I know everyone wants to discuss that. Those haven't really gone anywhere the last few days, and I didn't expect them to. But there is some actual news with the Rockets that we'll get to on the back half of the show. That's the signing of Bobby Brown and Troy Williams, the first last night, the second today. Now, neither is official yet. The Rockets have not put out the release, but both players and, more importantly, their representation have confirmed it. So it's just a matter of getting those contracts through to the league office. And that's important because it fills out the Rockets' rotation. Right now, considering the non-guaranteed contracts, I believe they actually have 19 of the 20 roster spots accounted for. So it's starting to become a very full roster. I think we all knew Bobby was coming back. Troy Williams seemed a little more dicey, but both of them certainly had moments last year. And when you look at the depth, the way it looked after the day of the Chris Paul trade, yes, you will absolutely take those two back. And I think that's a positive development to the Rockets, and we'll get to it in a few minutes. But to lead off, I want to talk about Carmelo, because I know that's the main focus for everyone. He's the missing piece as far as this Rockets offseason completing the puzzle, and I'm not going to rehash everything we already know. If you want to go back through what's happened the last 2 weeks in negotiations, our archives here at Locked on Rockets, we have that fully covered. As far as where things stand today, we haven't really had a concrete rumor in a couple of days. The closest thing we've had to a concrete rumor was the report that Portland was trying to go after Carmelo. We've had a couple of leaks from Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum showing that they clearly want Portland to go after him. And while I think that's by design, I think the most important part is that we have heard from multiple sources, both Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN and the New York Daily News, that Carmelo has no interest in going to Portland. And I think that's very important because this is one of the threats that he's going to be faced with. As I said a week ago tonight, after the talk stalled, it was last Thursday when the Knicks went in for a temporary pause. I never bought that it was temporary. I never bought that it was about the implementation of a new GM. What it was about was that the Knicks were not able to stomach what they were getting in return, be it from the Rockets or in a 3 or 4 team trade involving the Rockets. So essentially, they're trying to take a step back and see if they could do anything to get a better return. And ultimately, it's their own fault. They gave Carmelo a no-trade clause, and they also gave him a player option, so they're sort of boxed in. And Daryl Morey is a good GM. He knows that. He's not going to give excessive value, especially for a player like Carmelo that, while I do like him, he's 33 years old. He's not without risk. He has been becoming more inefficient in recent years. He's not the athlete he used to be. So I do want him here, but he's not a perfect player, and Daryl Morey knows that. He also knows that the Knicks have no leverage, so he's using that against them, and he's going to get the best deal he can for the Rockets, which means as far as the rotation players, only sending out Ryan Anderson. But that's a bit of a stalemate for the Knicks, and it was never about implementing a new GM. It's about they can't stomach what they're getting, so they're going to try one last go-around. I do think that ultimately they'll trade him to Houston for a lot of reasons. I think they have too much to lose by keeping him. I don't think they want to have a toxic presence around the team, and perhaps more than that, since they've already told him he was being dealt to Houston, I don't think they want an unhappy Melo. I don't think they want to double-cross his agency or his representation. I don't think they want that kind of vibe going around. I think they want to be seen as a player-friendly organization. So ultimately, I do think the odds are that the deal gets done unless they are able to talk Carmelo into expanding his list. And there are two ways that they can do that, and I think they're trying both right now. Initially, there was a leak that they would consider keeping Carmelo, which they haven't officially ruled out, but it seems pretty clear. If you read between the lines, there's a press conference this week with new GM Scott Perry, President Steve Mills. I don't think anyone buys that they're really going to keep him. They want to rebuild. They don't want his presence around their younger players. I think they understand it's better to move on. But that's one threat they could conceivably make, because if Carmelo bought it and wanted out of New York that badly, then he could expand his list out of fear that the Knicks might keep him. That's option one. Option two is that he expands his list for some other reason, most notably because some other team recruits him, and that's what Portland is trying to do. Part of the reason that Houston is on his list now, and it certainly wasn't a few months ago, is because Chris Paul and James Harden have been recruiting him. Now, if you want to talk bigger picture, it's probably less the recruiting and more that Carmelo Anthony, he has everything in New York. That's where he wants to be. And if he moves on, he wants to play with either Chris Paul or LeBron James, his two best friends. Honestly, that's probably more of it than a recruiting angle. But if you're the Knicks, you can hope that if some other team wants to recruit him, and that's what Portland is doing, that maybe you can eventually talk him into expanding that list. So I think that's why New York leaked the temporary pause, because essentially what that's doing, it's broadcasting to the entire NBA that we are not happy with what we're getting right now. So if you want to make an effort to get Carmelo, do so. Now, other teams can't make offers for Carmelo to the Knicks, really, because they haven't, because Carmelo has a no-trade clause. So the secret to getting this done is to convince Carmelo to expand that list, which generally means player-to-player recruiting, because that's the one form of tampering that is not regulated these days by the NBA. So that's what's been going on the last few days. I think the players in Portland, they're a unique situation. Portland, one of the reasons that they were speculated as a potential Ryan Anderson spot in a 3 or 4 team trade is because for the foreseeable future, they are capped out. They've given out so many big contracts that don't really make a lot of sense. Allen Crabbe, Myers Leonard, Evan Turner, who am I forgetting? Mo Harkless, you can put him in there. But basically, they're over $100 million for a team that just went 41-41 last year. So whereas a lot of teams may not want to commit $27 million to Carmelo or deal with his player option, the Blazers are kind of a perfect storm. They have nothing left to lose. They do have a couple of big-name guards in Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. So they took the bait, and they might be able to offer a little better package than Houston. Well, might be more willing to offer is more appropriate. The Rockets can offer more, they're just not going to because of Carmelo's specific situation. But I think that's partially why the Knicks made that leak, was that in addition to threatening to keep him themselves, the other way that he might could get to open up the list to at least give the Knicks more bargaining power is if another team recruited him well. And I think ultimately that's what Portland's trying to do. But the good news is that Carmelo isn't buying it, and as I've said from the get-go, the thing is, Carmelo is a very experienced businessman. It's worth a try if you're the Knicks, because you have 2 months until training camp. They don't have to move all that quickly, but at the end of the day, it's a dead-end road, because Carmelo is 33 years old. Those types of threats might work against someone naive that doesn't really know the business, but Carmelo is a very successful businessman. He got his brand to where it is for a reason, and he knows the Knicks have more to lose. So he knows that he doesn't need to expand that list. If he wants to go to Houston eventually, before September 15th, or whenever teams start to report to training camp, the Knicks are going to fold, and that could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week, it could be next month. But I am confident that Carmelo understands the business component of that, and as long as he holds strong, then I think ultimately he ends up in Houston. And the reports this week that he's not willing to talk to the Knicks about coming back to New York and being reincorporated, and he's not really open to Portland despite the attempts to recruit by Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, all of that reflects what we should have known already, which is that Carmelo is a very savvy businessman. And while it's a worthy, you know, it's a worthy try from the Knicks, it's unlikely to really work. So I think we're still in the same situation we were a few days ago. The Knicks didn't pull away because there's a new GM or anything like that. They pulled away because they're upset with the Rockets' offer. They can't stomach dealing a franchise centerpiece. That's what Carmelo was for them when they got him 7 years ago and then re-signed him in 2014. They can't stomach giving him up for so little, especially if they might take a bad contract in return. But ultimately, they did it to themselves with the no-trade clause, the player option, all the things that they did contractually, as well as how Phil Jackson treated him. And of course, the Knicks brain trust, owner James Dolan, president Steve Mills, allowed Phil Jackson to treat Carmelo for years. Basically, they're reaping what they sowed. And at this point, at some point, I do think a deal gets done. I don't think they want a public drama. I don't think they want this to turn into a spectacle. But as far as when the exact point that they give up is, I really don't know, because there's 2 months left in the offseason. And since nobody's really having constant media appearances, it's not as dramatic as if this were going on in the season. Everybody faces the media every day. So that's why it could be a long haul, but I think everybody would prefer that it resolves quicker rather than later. But for now, we sit and wait. There are no new developments other than Carmelo is not really seeming to be receptive to the inquiries of other teams or the inquiries of the Knicks to talk about reincorporating him. And at this point, that's all you could really ask for. And besides that, we just wait for the point that the Knicks inevitably cave. And for now, the Rockets are in a holding pattern. And, well, they're comfortable in a holding pattern because other than that, they have a pretty full roster and they feel really good about where they're at. So I know you guys want more of an update than that. We don't really have it now, but I think Daryl Morey is still pretty happy because even if somehow you keep this roster with Ryan Anderson, they still feel really good about its potential. And, well, the odds are, I would say, very strong odds, I'd say at least 80-20, maybe 90-10, that Carmelo Anthony does end up in Houston because the Knicks ultimately fold before training camp. It's just a matter of when more so than if. Now, the other part of it that got a lot of traction the last couple of days on social media, Chris Mannix of The Vertical, i.e. Yahoo Sports, went on a program in New England, CSN New England, one of their Celtics shows. They're asking to make some free agency predictions for the rest of this offseason and going forward. He predicted that Carmelo would end up in Houston for the same reasons, or many of the same reasons, that we've just been discussing. And beyond that, he also predicted that in 2018, Houston was a landing spot for LeBron James. And a lot of Rockets fans on Twitter reacted with pandemonium going crazy. My reaction, honestly, was, duh. If the Rockets get Carmelo Anthony, are they a potential LeBron destination in 2018? Sure they are. It's incredibly realistic. Now, I'm not going to speculate because so many things can change. I think, in general, the narrative of Cleveland can get overdone. They do have a lot of problems. LeBron does seem to have some beef with Dan Gilbert, the ownership there. But keep in mind, Cleveland just went 12-1 through the Eastern Conference playoffs, and if not for blowing a late fourth quarter lead in game three of the finals, odds seem pretty good that they're 2-2 after four games against the Warriors, maybe the best team in NBA history. So narratives can change very quickly. Maybe the Cavs turn it around this year, and of course there's a ton of history with LeBron being from there. I don't think, no matter what he says now, that it's going to be easy for him to leave. Also, who knows what happens in other situations around the NBA. We've seen how narratives can change in 12 months. Just look at Houston 12 months ago when the Rockets were coming off of 41-41 and had to pay $80 million over 4 years just to lure Ryan Anderson. And now look where they are just 12 months later. There's entirely too many things that can change, so I'm not going to sit here and say, wow, Houston's getting LeBron James. But is it possible? Sure it is. Carmelo and Chris Paul are two of his best friends in the entire NBA, and both can opt out next summer. They can make the math work. Now, yes, Houston would be dealing with a hard cap, but James Harden's contract, well, it will be big. It's not going to be huge. James Harden will be making $30 million in the 2018-2019 season. The Harden numbers don't get staggering until 2 years from now when that new extension they just signed kicks in and it gets closer to $40 million and above. Next year, he's just at 30. And Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul will be a free agent for sure. Carmelo has a player option. So if they want to make the math work, they can, to where they can all take $15 to $20 million contracts. And LeBron, even if there's not salary cap room, that's where I go back to the Rockets and their asset situation. It's not that the Rockets don't have assets, it's that they're unwilling to spend them on Carmelo Anthony because they have so much leverage, and also there are questions with Carmelo. But as far as a potential sign and trade, Eric Gordon at $13.5 million? Yeah, that's a very positive asset. And this time next year, P.J. Tucker at $7.5 million? That's a positive asset too. So if you're Cleveland losing LeBron James, you could do a lot worse than Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker. And in a sign and trade, that would allow the Rockets to get up to $25 million or so for LeBron per year. Now, it's not the true max, but I think we've seen over and over again, headlined by Kevin Durant this offseason, that there is a certain point where players have enough money that they'll just make it work. Now, nobody's going to sign for the minimum. LeBron's not going to come here for the minimum just to round out the roster. But at some point, the numbers are so large that these players are willing to sign for less than the max. They'll all take $15, $20 million to make it work. So it's a completely reasonable scenario. If you have Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony, that, yes, I would expect the Rockets to go after LeBron James next summer, and they would have a compelling pitch. I'm not going to say that it's easy, because certainly Cleveland will offer him the full max, and maybe Cleveland's narrative is in a much better place in 12 months than it is right now. I'm not going to write that off, given the turnaround we've seen right here in Houston. And who knows what happens in L.A.? We know LeBron has a lot of off-court ventures and business there. It's 12 months. A ton of stuff can change. So don't get over the moon. Don't think that this is a done deal. But is it possible? Sure it is. Because, yeah, there's going to be a hard cap. You have to make the numbers work. You can't max out Chris Paul. But Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, we know how close they are with LeBron. And those guys, do I think they would give up a little bit of money to play together? Essentially, because it's their last chance in their primes to do so. They'll all be 33, 34 years old this time next year. Do I think they would give up a little bit of money to make it work in the right situation? Absolutely, I do. So I wasn't over the moon about or shocked by Chris Mannix saying it. It's common sense. Yeah, Houston could be a destination for LeBron. But there's a clear case for the math to work, too, with a sign and trade of Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker, which would get Cleveland some value. But that's highly speculative. That's 12 months from now. So I'm not going to headline saying the Rockets are getting LeBron James. All in all, I think it's quite unlikely because there are just so many variables that can change. But is it possible, especially if you get Carmelo? Sure it is. I think that's incredibly reasonable. Now, in a minute, I'm going to get back to more concrete rumors. We're going to take it down a notch from LeBron James to Bobby Brown. Although Bobby, you know, he's still got us a good groove. But before I do that, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at SeatGeek because they're the reasons that we're able to bring you this show on such a frequent basis. And folks, if you want to buy tickets to any major event, be it the Rockets with Chris Paul, the Astros still the best record in the American League, you guys know that these days it is so complicated to get the right deals. The box office, they often raise prices through dynamic pricing, or they're sold out altogether. But SeatGeek has come along and created an amazing experience, especially on the mobile side where it's just so seamless. That mobile app, you can literally buy and sell tickets in just two taps, and they do all the cross comparisons for you. They grade the tickets from 1 to 100, so you know you're getting the best price, you're getting the best value for your buck, and again, you can do it just a few clicks on your phone. I've got that SeatGeek app. I use it all the time. Just used it for the Astros last weekend. But the best part of this is that you guys, as my listeners here at Locked On Rockets, in addition to all those obvious benefits, you also get an extra benefit of $20 savings, and it's so easy. To get it, here's what you do. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, then enter the promo code LOMBA. That promo code LOMBA will get you $20 off of your first SeatGeek purchase. And as I said last week, if for some reason LOMBA is not working, it should be now, but if it's not, try LO Rockets. That's our old code. But either way, one of those should get you $20 off of your first ticket purchase from SeatGeek, and that's for basketball, baseball, concerts, pretty much any entertainment option you can come up with. Now, jumping back into the Houston Rockets specifically, when you think entertainment, boy, you think Bobby Brown. Well, that's a little bit of a lame pun, but let's run with it. Our Bobby Brown at the end of the bench, he's certainly an entertainer in and of his own right, and you can tell he definitely entertains the likes of James Harden, Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza. I've called him the unofficial recruiting coordinator all offseason. You can tell he's one of the guys, and he's back. He agreed to a deal last night. And yes, I think it's great because we saw at times last year, he can fill it up in a hurry. Even in his mid-30s, he is still a viable scorer in the NBA. And with the Rockets, after signing Luke Bamute earlier this week, you have a full 9-man rotation, 10 if you count both centers, both backup centers, Nene and Tarik Black. So for those end of the roster spots, now that your rotation is full, the biggest thing is mentality. Because yes, you might can bring in someone who has a little more upside than Bobby Brown, but you don't want them to upset the apple cart, the chemistry. And a lot of guys, if they only play sparingly when someone is having a maintenance game or if there's foul trouble, a lot of guys are going to get unhappy. Well, what Bobby Brown showed you last year, yes, he has some ability, but he is comfortable in his own skin. He knows his own role, and of course he knows the system as well, now having played for Mike D'Antoni for a year. But more than that, he's comfortable in a role where if he doesn't play, if he's the 12th man, just leading the cheers on the bench and being boys with James Harden, and I'm assuming Chris Paul as well, and Trevor Ariza off the court, he's happy to do that. And if there's an opportunity to play, well, he's thrilled to do that as well. But that's the biggest thing when you're looking at these end-of-the-bench roster spots for someone that's not guaranteed rotation minutes. It's not just about what the upside is, how good they are. It's also about their attitude and their willingness to buy into that role. And sometimes if you go younger, that's where you can get into some problems. For example, I don't think that Mike D'Antoni was dumb in the preseason last year when he saw so many things out of KJ McDaniels. He talked him up, and he really saw some positive things out of KJ to where he thought he could be a real contributor in certain situations. But ultimately, it didn't happen, and part of the problem was that after KJ didn't really earn that full-time rotation spot, I think it was tougher for him to fully stay engaged because he's a young player, he wants to play, and it's tougher for him to accept that role as that 10th, 11th man, whatever it is, at the end of the bench who's used sparingly. Whereas a guy like Bobby Brown, in addition to, yeah, he can score very well, and he can shoot threes, and he knows Mike D'Antoni's system. That's perfectly good for a third guard off the bench who's not going to play, especially because in most games when you have Eric Gordon, Chris Paul, James Harden, there's your 96 guard minutes right there. But in addition to having the skills, knowledge of the system, he's comfortable in who he is, and I think that's biggest for the Rockets at this point in time, is someone who knows who he is. Now, the other signing today that actually surprised me a little bit by that same rationale was Troy Williams. And Troy Williams, of course, y'all remember, he played fairly well down the stretch last year, especially in April he was signed from away from Memphis. He played several games in Memphis, actually started 13 early in the year. He's a good defender, three-point shot inconsistent, but he's working on it, very athletic. And going into the offseason, a lot of folks actually, after trading Sam Decker to the Clippers, wondered if Troy could claim that Decker role. Well, what ended up happening, of course, the Rockets signed P.J. Tucker on July 1st. Then earlier this week, they added Luke Bamute, and that forward rotation is so deep that a lot of folks said, well, Troy's probably going to want to go elsewhere for playing time, especially because he played so well in the Summer League. Through the first three games, he was averaging over 25 points a game and shooting fairly well, too, along with his obvious gifts of athleticism, defense, those types of things. Well, lo and behold, he's willing to re-sign with the Rockets. Three-year deal, only the first year truly guaranteed. Now, that Summer League performance did get him some benefit. I think early in the offseason, the Rockets probably had him kind of earmarked for one of those two-way contracts that allow you to go back and forth between the Rockets and the D-League, or now G-League, whatever it is, but Rio Grande Valley. Well, now he's got a fully guaranteed contract, and I think he probably played his way into that with his Summer League performance. But yeah, I think it's a great development for the Rockets that they were able to keep him. I thought he would might either go somewhere or ask somewhere else for the Rockets to facilitate a move. But he's a young player with energy, and he brings production on both ends of the floor. Now, is he going to be in the rotation? No, because clearly, or I can't say no, but certainly he's an underdog when you look at guys like P.J. Tucker and Luke Bamute that are much more proven behind Trevor Ariza and whoever's your starter at power forward, be it Ryan Anderson or hopefully Carmelo. So it's a long shot for Troy to get minutes. But where I think this works is it shows the culture. Because you could see at Summer League, he was close with Trevor Ariza and James Harden. Actually, Trevor gave him shoes before one game, if I remember correctly. And so it shows that Troy wants to buy in. It's also one of those benefits. If you're a winning team, then you can get guys to do things that might otherwise not make that much sense. And as far as he's a young player, people wondering about his commitment, the key thing to remember is that he chose Houston. While I can't say that there won't be a KJ McDaniels scenario or something where he gets a little unhappy, at the same time, a lot of those situations where young players are unhappy are because they want to play and they're either drafted or traded for by the team and they can't really pick their situation. For Troy to pick Houston, that's big time because he picks Houston even knowing the long odds. So I think he knows that he's got to bide his time. Now, ultimately, I think we all know Daryl Morey's propensity to search for stars, and Houston, among all teams, I mentioned theoretically next summer about compiling assets in a sign-and-trade for LeBron James. I think Troy Williams knows that if he bides his time with Daryl Morey as his GM, there's a pretty damn good opportunity that he can earn some time in Houston, and he is younger than a lot of these guys. So as these, P.J. Tucker, Luke Mabute, as they progress into their low to mid-30s, then it's entirely possible over the next year or two that Troy Williams can earn his way into minutes. But the bottom line is that rather than just search for the most immediate playing time, Troy, you can tell he's happy in Houston. I think he's also trusting himself that despite the long odds, he thinks he can ultimately break through. And short-term, he seems to be content in not having a rotation spot going into October. And that's all you can ask for. It's a very different dynamic than Bobby Brown, but for Troy Williams to make that choice himself, I said earlier in the week that my guess was that he would probably leave somewhere else based on his performance in Summer League, and he seems a guy, given his production on both ends of the court, that would be sought after by a lot of teams around the league. But if he wants to stay, I am more than happy to have him. He's a good kid, tremendous athlete, great attitude, good defender, progressing offensively, and if a guy like that is your 11th or 12th man, then holy hell, do you have a great roster, which by all accounts, the Rockets certainly do, and right now it appears to be probably the clear second best in the NBA behind only the historically great Golden State Warriors. So, with that said, I will wrap up this brief episode of Locked On Rockets. Again, I know we've had a few days in between episodes. I last talked to you on Monday. That's because I was hoping to get some more concrete news on the Carmelo front. But at this point, I know you guys want more content. I know y'all want to talk Rockets because these days it's so fun to talk Rockets. But unfortunately, we don't know when the Carmelo rumor train is going to end. So if we're waiting for Carmelo to do a show, we might be waiting a month or two. And I know that we don't want to go a month or two without talking Rockets. So hopefully y'all appreciate this episode, even though we don't really have anything Carmelo to talk about specifically. By the way, one additional Carmelo note while I'm thinking about it, I should have mentioned it in the first half of the podcast, but in case you didn't hear it, I tweeted about it. But Tuesday, the day after, we heard that Les Alexander is looking to sell the team. And of course, we did our reaction show on that on Monday, but the day after that, Tad Brown went on the radio, that's CEO of the Rockets, and said that Daryl Morey would have no changes in his resources or aggressiveness based on the sale. Now, a lot of us found that out already because it's pretty clear that Les Alexander, there are two ways that you can sell a team. You can either scale it down and make it as lean as possible, which is what Drayton McLean did a few years ago before he sold the Astros to Jim Crane, or you can boost the expected cash flow. And of course, the Rockets have gone that route because they've committed over $200 million to James Harden. They signed Chris Paul. They gave Daryl Morey a five-year extension. So it's pretty clear the Rockets aren't trying to be lean on this sale. They're actually trying to be the opposite end of the spectrum, make the expected cash flow so great to boost the price that way. So there are two ways to look at it, but it was already clear the Rockets were on that other end. But it's good to hear Tad Brown say that too, because yes, with Carmelo, with Troy Williams, the Rockets are now actually just about $4 million off the luxury tax, and I think about $10 million below the hard cap. So if you get Carmelo, who makes about $7 million more than Ryan Anderson, then yeah, he is going to be pushing your luxury tax and almost to the hard cap. So at the same time, while I think a lot of us put two and two together and realized that the ownership sale was not going to affect the pursuit of Carmelo Anthony, Tad spelled it out specifically on Tuesday that Daryl has the same resources he had before. Now, Tad can't use the name Carmelo because that would be tampering from an executive standpoint, but he was pretty clear unofficially, wink, wink, saying that Daryl would have the same aggressiveness than he did before. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out what aggressive move the Rockets might be involved in as they go down the home stretch of this 2017 offseason. So, I'll leave things right there. Again, this is Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. If you're not already following us, do so on Twitter at Locked On Rockets, or you can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. Also, email the show at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions, suggestions, or inquiries about how to become a potential sponsor, just as SeatGeek was today. Remember, download that SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONBA, and from there, you can get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And as I said earlier, if for some reason LONBA doesn't work, you can also try LO Rockets. Also, speaking of Locked On NBA, we are a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which has shows across the NBA and NFL, all teams in each league, and overall shows for the NBA and NFL. One of those is Locked On NBA. That's hosted by David Locke. He's the godfather of the network. He hosts Locked On Jazz. He's the radio play-by-play broadcaster for the Jazz. Great follow on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. But he had me on earlier today on his Locked On NBA show to talk about the pursuit of Carmelo, the ownership sale, all the big things happening in Houston. So if you want to hear a little bit more from me, even after this podcast, well, first off, thank you for actually caring to listen to me that much. And beyond that, if you actually do want to check it out, go to Locked On NBA, and you can find that same place as you find Locked On Rockets. Audio Boom, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn. Just pretty much wherever you can find your podcasts, search for Locked On Rockets, search for Locked On NBA. Hell, search for Locked On Texans, hosted by my good buddy Robert Lynn, or you can find any good content across the NBA and NFL. So with that, I will wrap things up. Hope you guys have a good Thursday evening, and hopefully we'll have more to discuss about Carmelo in the coming days. For now, have a good night.